Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. This would be August 7th, 2011. Today we had a nice tape to continue on with, and we had a great show. Check those archives out on those live shows. There's a lot of good information there. So anyway, without further ado, let's get Dr. Bell up and see how he's going to perform today. I know he's always got a surprise in his sleeve. It's just never ending with those surprises. Dr. Bell, are you around? Dude, are you there? We're looking for Dr. Bell. He's somewhere. He's a little slow today. Probably overslept. Knowing Dr. Bell, he sleeps too much. Yep. We are rolling, but I don't hear anything. Maybe Dr. Bell's not going to speak today. He's bashful or something. So let's see what's going on here. Getting a lot of activity on our systems 3 and quad systems again. The consciousness is rolling around a bit here. And I don't know where Dr. Bell went on that one. I'll fast forward a little bit here. Some of these tapes have slow starts. Some of them don't have any start at all. That George Norrie interview from last week and the week before that was a lot of fun. I'm sure you all remember that. I don't know if there's anything on this one anymore. Take it out and check it. I'm sure it is. Oh, yeah, it looks like there's something in there. Those words kind of hide in the celluloid, you know. It's always funny. Take it down a little ways. Well, I don't know where Dr. Bell went. I think he's hiding. Yeah, he's definitely hiding. Let's see what's going on here. Da-da-da-da-dum. Nothing there. That's amazing. This is what you call a meditation show. Anyway, let me grab this other one I have here. This should be a little bit interesting. This was a part of a workshop that we were doing.
Now, and everything that I have explained to you now, there are certain people in world order.
Before I get that done, let me make sure we're at the right side of that. Yeah, we're good. There we go.
That know this knowledge as I know it, as you're learning it. They know it better than you. Some of them know it almost as well as I do. And they're using this knowledge to kill you, to destroy you, to remove you from the surface of the earth. Okay? So the first area that we need to look at is the brain. When we had the atomic explosions over in Nagasaki and Hiroshima, a lot of the people were very close to ground zero where the bomb went off and had no permanent damage genetically from the radiation. Other people were 30 miles away and had severe reactions to the radiation. So why could people be up close and get really nuked and people and have no reaction and people farther away? Anybody know?
The brain.
I want to interrupt at this point. We sell a thing for $5 called a rad sticker. And those of you that are worried about the, especially up north, Oregon, those parts, of the radiation from the plutonium and radon gas and all of that coming over from Japan, a $5 sticker, it actually changes. It's actually a Geiger counter for $5. But consider getting one of those. Give me, call 1-800-729-2603 if you're interested.
And the people that were shielded from radiation naturally had large amounts of electrolytes in their body. Electrolytes are coming from Earth, Photigen, Sing, and Gotapoa. Okay? It's very important in this time to take huge amounts of those herbs in your body. Okay? In our mineral formulas, in our vitamin formulas, both, we use large amounts of Thai ginseng and Gotapoa, okay? When you have them in there, the brain has an ample amount of electricity to generate these different vibratory frequencies. If this water wheel is turning over real slow, north, south, you've got a 60-cycle positive, 60-cycle negative wave going, okay? You've got a wave of protons, a wave of electrons. It's pushing and pulling, 60 cycles. If you get this thing turning so damn fast that you can't hardly see it anymore and hook it across the speaker, you've got physical sound, because the magnet can be hooked to a piece of cardboard, and that magnet will move back and forth because of that attractive force of that other magnet transmitting the energy through the wire. This vibration will create sound waves in the air, and you'll have audible sound. Okay? When you perceive audible sound, you have a diaphragm in your ear that works exactly the same way. It's a physical organ that's hooked to a nerve bundle that moves across an internal magnet, which creates a sound in your brain. Okay? If you start bringing this up in speed and vibration to very high speeds, you start approaching a wavelength that's so short now that it becomes radiation. It will shoot out, and you have radiation, okay? Radiation like microwave, like X-rays, like gamma waves, okay? This radiation can be harmful to the body, or it can be destructive to the body. The harmful radiation creates a chemical effect called free radicals when it becomes harmful. And free radicals create all forms of disease as we know them, okay? Excessive electrons. If we go faster and faster with the vibratory frequency, we move up into visible light. The radiation is so great that we have now stricken the astral plane, and we've asked the astral plane to release photons, visible light, down in the physical plane. Okay? And so it's understanding and making the brain function at all these levels that makes consciousness possible and all the different things that we do possible. The idea of the pyridine nutritional systems, mineral systems, the receptors and the pyramids worn on the head, and personal things that you carry is what we call component technology. We'll cover that, of course, today. When we go further beyond component, we start taking components and hooking them together, we end up with systems technology. When we get into systems technology, we're taking the human form, we're aligning it with the universe, and we're freeing it up in space and time. Okay? Now, has anybody got any questions on where we're going?
You mentioned something about organizations of people that would use this technology to hurt us. What's the purpose?
The purpose is control. There's a certain group that has a lot of dharma on them, enough to get rid of their pearls of wisdom, and so they try to control. These people are not free of the ring pass knot, but if they could steal a spaceship and get the hell out of here, they would, but they can't. But they don't know that. So these are your secret governments, your Trilats, Majestic 12, Night Club of Rome, Skull and Bones, and the Initiates and College, all this, these groups, okay?
Are they aware that they're
they know where they're at.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been through all these organizations in this lifetime. I've met and known all these people in all these groups. And they all know, have known and met me, and we have a powerful interchange. This goes on as we speak. But they know where they're at, and they know where I'm at.
How many are there? Like, of the percentage of the population, how many people would be there?
Well, there's 25 families controlling the entire Earth.
Basically, they would fall into
Yeah. Well, I'll give you an example.
Have you written anything on that? That's it.
There's plenty of stuff written on it.
Oh, I know. Everybody else is. I asked if you did.
Yeah, a little bit. It's in my page series there. The Rothschild family broke up. This is power, okay? The Rothschild family broke up, okay? Margaret Habsburg, who was an indirect friend of mine, inherited one-twelfth of the Rothschild estate, okay? How much money was that? How much did she get? Take a guess. One individual, how much money did she get?
Probably a couple billion.
What's the national debt?
$4 trillion.
$4.3 trillion. Margaret got 4.2. That's power.
Yeah, I believe that.
Can you imagine that?
Because the truly wealthy never reveal themselves to the public.
No, 4.3. Yeah, she got 4.2.
I heard that they were, that they have these frequencies now that could actually control your RNA and DNA and make you become violent.
Oh, sure, that's been going on for years. Hitler had that. God, that's what Megalite was all about. Joseph Megalite. Yeah, that's a whole mountain. But, yeah.
But how is it that you've interacted with all these different groups?
Yeah. By being who I am. It's natural.
Well, I mean, how does that occur? Do they approach you at seminars, or do you approach them?
I never. They always come to me. I don't look at them. I said I was born and raised with them, so what can you do? No.
Did it threaten you?
No. Margaret Hapsburg, her husband, I'll give you the direct shot of this now if you want the Hapsburgs. Margaret Hapsburg had a husband. He died. They lived in Los Alamos, New Mexico. Okay? Margaret had her own money. She hadn't inherited the Rothschild money yet. Okay, now, believe me, the $4.3 trillion doesn't come to the U.S. She's only allowed to bring X number of million dollars in this country a month. Okay? The most flamboyant thing that Margaret has been able to pull off so far is her family owns most of the cathedrals in Europe, you know, and so in buildings. And so she has brought, or began to bring, a $1 billion church, Palm Springs, where she lives part-time. That's about as much as she can do. Because government in no way let her bring that money here. When you talk about giving Alan Greenspan a heart attack, which he definitely needs, I mean, it would really screw up the Federal Reserve, which is another private bunch of people.
Yeah.
Okay, one of the users of this technology is James Anthony. James Anthony is an inventor who lives in Los Angeles, who is Margaret's husband's partner. James and I are very close. That's why I know the Hapsburg family. When Margaret was living in Los Alamos with her husband, who was also a scientist, they had some people living in the house with them, because they had a big compound. They had four little graves living with them.
Four
graves in their house.
Oh my God.
And their house was guarded by the CIA. Okay? When her husband died, the little graves, of course, were removed, and she moved out of there. And she's scared to death because she knew where they were from Beta Reticuli 2, or 3 rather. Okay, so they're here. These were house guests. That's where these people come from. So yes, they know. Those Grays taught her husband a lot of stuff. They lived in a house together. Okay, just to understand what a part of society is about that you just, you know, as average, you know, people like out here like me, you know, we don't see that. I happen to see it because I'm supposed to see it. And so, and I'm always, always, because I was in the, you know, when I was, well, he, my cousin back here, he can tell you what was my name when I was a kid.
Billy.
Yeah, because my name was Bill, right? He knew me as Billy when we lived together in Orchard Park, New York. He used to visit his parents out there. But my mother, you know, was approached by the CIA when I was 16 years old. And even Frankenbell's jaw dropped one day because my mother was sitting there with this little old lady with gray hair sitting in my kitchen, and she's heard me tell the story, but here's my mother saying, well, you know, she floored you, didn't she? You know, you thought I made that up or something like that.
No, I didn't.
But I mean, the reality strikes when somebody's mother says, well, you know, Frankenbell, he used to be Bill, but these two government guys came to my house and they said his name isn't Bill anymore, it's Fred now. You know, so it happened, you know. I was involved. I was involved in projects that I could talk about, but, you know, I'd have to kill you after you heard it. You
know?
That's what I just teased. That's what the CIA, that's their favorite expression. I hear that from those guys all the time. But anyway, I was involved in a lot of shit, let me tell you, all through my entire life, until I got fed up with it all. And then the Pleiadians came. So, as a result of that, you know, life has been a little bit wild. Now, the next thing I want to bring out, the next point that I want to bring out, is what's called divine intervention, okay? Because this is another thing we've got to look at here. If we take all these auras that we've talked about and put them on the earth, right? All these aura fields. All the humans, right? Remember how we talked about each person in bigger aura fields? So we end up with an aura field around the earth, don't we? Of all the humanity. We have, first of all, the aura field of the room from us. We have the aura field of the... Do that door open.
here.
It's stuffy in here. I just want a little air.
Yeah, but not too much.
Always stuffy in here.
Let me get that window open for me. And these pens really get me after a while. I really use chalk. Okay, so anyway, you have all the people on the earth, okay? But now there's two types of people out here. Here's a person that's their chakras, their spirit and matter combination is positive. Yeah, that's great, thanks. And they're making a contribution. The divine will is working through the spirit's working through the form, and they're harmonious with nature, okay? This would be a somewhat health-conscious, caring person, right? Then we have another person over here that all he wants to do is go out and conquer with a knife or a gun or a war. Okay, so we got the peace person here, and we got the warmonger, right? You have basically salt and pepper here. We'll call that salt and pepper, okay? Now, which do you think controls the Earth's aura field, the salt or the pepper?
A combination of both?
No, the pepper. The bad guy, the pepper, exactly. The Earth's aura field is controlled by the pepper, and just happens to be, we got, you know, probably these peppers, there are 9 billion people being influenced right now, which is most of the society, most of humanity. So the salt people over here, they don't really register. It's not really a whole lot they're doing right now, okay? Not much at all.
Why is the pepper in control?
Because we're coming through the backside of the Pleiades, and it's their time. You know, it's the time for all the shit to hit. You know, without the shit, you can't have the light. You know, it's important. You got to have the shade. So it's important. This is natural. It always goes on everywhere. It's part of creation. And it's always been this way. And if you can imagine, this is forever. So don't worry about it. It's just where it's at. Okay, but now we've reached a time. We've got a lot of pressure on the physical universe. Okay, here we got the sun over here, right? Putting out its, you know, its prana and its vitality globe, its life force. And we got Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Neptune, Jupiter, all the way up, Saturn, Uranus, Pluto, all of those. Okay? Now, what's the difference? You know, if you've got a human being with chakras in them, right? Forces are going through there. We discussed all that earlier, so we have an understanding about that now, right? What's the difference between the Kundalini force of that and the sun? Why can't the sun have a Kundalini force, which is a combination of the serpent and the solar fire? If the sun is a solar fire and this is a serpent fire, obviously, it has to get here, it has to go back, there's an exchange, boom. There's a lot of planets drawn in here, right? So there's a huge interaction between all these planets. Okay? Now, we have the sun and these planets moving through the clock here, through the whole cosmos of the Pleiades, right? So now we got the interaction of serpent fire, solar fire, going through cosmic fire, as they call it, in the cosmic treatise on cosmic fire, and Alice Bailey calls it cosmic fire. So boom, we got all these different other stellar influences coming into play now. That before wasn't so critical because we were on the dark side of the Pleiades, now we're on the light side, okay? Some people call this phenomenon the photon belt, which is one way of expressing it, however you want to call it, okay? So now let's look at this. We see this mechanism happening, but if you look at the watch, this is supposed to be a watch, right? And you look at the watch, and over here you got, let's say Alpha Centauri, one of our 4.5, or Proxima Centauri, 4.5 light years from here. Say there's some planets and stuff there. But their humanity is harmonious. They're cool. Ours is a problem. Okay, here's the deal. We got a bad force here. This Kundalini force is if we ask the Earth to stand up, it's not going to turn to the right. Earth's going to turn to the left. It's going to create a lot of ripples, right? So the Earth is screwing up the whole goddamn works through here. It's an absolute thorn in the solar presence, in the planetary, because it's all screwed up because of these idiots that are running it right now. Now, it wasn't so bad when say, 8 billion of them were up on the astral plane 300 years ago. Okay? Society was a bit sparse because you didn't have all that pressure on the Earth. Okay? It didn't really matter what you had here. The Earth was floating, and the astral plane wasn't a given because we weren't in a time when these pressures would collide. Okay? But now when you get all the physical down here, you start creating all, you're pumping up this etheric field, boom, you've got a big astral pressure, a huge astral pressure, because all the astral pressure is coming from where? The physical plane. That's where everybody's at. You see what I mean? In other words, you got to have your foot on the ground and your head in the heavens to be God. Okay? 300 years ago, there weren't enough feet on the ground. There was a lot of head in the heavens, but there wasn't no feet on the ground. So if the shit was going on up there, but not much going on down here. You get the picture. Okay? Everybody understands. It's very important you understand this. Okay? So now, first things start to happen. Well, Nostradamus slipped into this, and he said, well, I understand this 25,000-year cycle. I'll just whip up some quatrains here, and I'll show them how, you know, I'll show them how it's been in the past when this wasn't dealt with properly. So you have his quatrains, which are fine. First thing that happens is planetary pressure starts to build up. What's called the Jupiter effect takes place, where there's a certain alignment. Pressure, big bad pressure, comes from all these 9 billion souls directly down on the sun. Boom. Comes down on the sun. Sun really hates this and says it starts belching, and this, when it belches, it creates what's called solar flares. These big solar flares start belching, okay? Which usually happens in the fall, about now, usually a little earlier than now. It also happens in the summer, but usually during a full moon period. Okay, that's the moon is usually the final catalyst. Boom, these pressures come up, and now you get what's called a solar wind. The solar wind starts blowing back here. Boom, solar wind. Solar wind hits man's aura, and he becomes the most irritable bastard there is. Wars start, people hate each other, fights, murders, all this stuff occurs, right? Boom, more energy feeds back, builds up a little bit more. Heavy energy comes out of the sun, bigger solar flares, and we start rocking and rolling. Earthquakes. This is where earthquakes come from. Man creates earthquakes. Okay? That's one. Now, secondly, man amplifies the effect of earthquakes. A long time ago, many revolutions around the Pleiades ago, we had dinosaurs. And when the dinosaurs died and the vegetation, we had huge, giant plants died. They made an oil zone. This was all compressed down in the oil. So we had an oil zone. The oil zone, basically, you take the plates of the earth, the top and surface, okay? And you take the molten core, okay, of the earth. There's a tension here. Number one, the heat of the earth comes from the density of the astral plane, the haze. That's where heat comes from, the expression down on that level. It's called serpent fire, another form of serpent fire. And the energies themselves are called salamanders. And there's a pressure up between this hot core and this surface up here. So the oil naturally acted as a great lubricant to stabilize the core of the earth versus the surface. In the very beginning of time, when people or humanity was here millions of years ago, this stabilization hadn't taken place, and you had a lot of natural earthquakes. And as a result of these earth changes, in those days you see big cities and the Bimini Islands under water and stuff like that. But by now it should have been stabilized. But man has not only removed the oil and polluted the atmosphere, but he has created, you know, a huge population of negative beings, which are in direct conflict with the natural solar laws, which are then getting into the stellar laws. So you can see the ETs have to come and do something, right? This has to be done. This is called divine intervention, and it's already started. It's not about to start. It's very much in place, very active.
One question. How does that relate to the 9 planets that are supposed to be in alignment in the year 2000 in May 18th or 22nd or something like that?
What you call a focusing of the Jupiter effect.
Yes. What happens then?
Well, it depends on what happens now, how we're prepared for that. It could be a little bit disruptive, or it could be totally harmonious. Either one.
If all those planets line up, it could still be harmonious.
Oh, yeah. It'd be wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. But we have to get rid of the growth-resistant generation, right? Mm-hmm. So, okay, here is time. Here is the Earth moving through space. And this is the present. And this is time as we know it. Okay? The fore part of time, this exact moment, or this is where we're at here, can be expressed as a leading point of a comet. Okay? So the horizon of events is right here, like that. Left as a seagull. These blitz are real old. Now that's the horizon of time. Okay? Now, what happens if you build a time machine and you go back here to 1938, okay? Back here, and you assassinate Hitler. What happens to World War II?
Never happened.
No, nothing happens to World War II. It still exists. Why? Because only one individual, you know, one human went back here into this time, which is an echo, and made a little change, and that change might have fell up to about here, and it just faded away in the annals of time again. Okay? So you don't really manipulate the past to change the present. That doesn't work. Okay? Wrap about some point. I could use an eraser. One of the things that the Andromedans did in 1991 was, now before I explain what they did, let me explain who they are. Okay? Pleiadians are an Earth group of people that have come and gone from this planet. They didn't originate here. They've been here many times. Pleiadians come down and work through people like Sheridan McLean or Barbara Mersenniak or myself or Billy Meyer through channeling or physical contacts, depending on how much energy that person can contain and express. And so the Pleiadians come and they work at a certain point when the Earth is coming up on their horizon. In other words, the sun is starting to rise. In the Earth and the planets on their horizon, their event horizon. Okay? So the Pleiadians come and they teach us stuff and they show us stuff. They don't do a damn thing. They do nothing. Why do they do nothing? It's because Pleiadians also know about Dharma. Pleiadians are human. They're not bi-dimensional beings. They're three-dimensional like we are. They spend more time on the astral plane because of their transition between space and time, between moving around in the universe, but they're basically humans with a longer lifespan, which we'll have eventually anyway when we teach our DNA how to accept that again. So they come and they teach us and then they leave. Because if they were to get involved, they'd get caught up in our dharma, in their dharma, and what would happen? They'd be back at war again. They'd go right back to war. Some point in the future, they'd be interplay and there would be a war between them and us or something would happen somewhere. So they go away. Okay? Andromedans are like the highway patrol. Andromeda lives 5,000 years. If you took a picture of a Semyasi in a Polaroid camera, you'd see a picture of a human-looking person. If you took a picture of an Andromedan like Liara or Leia, which was another one that was here, she would look like a cocoon of light. They look like a big cocoon with a head blob on it. No features. Because the Andromedans are infinite in creation and they only reconstruct themselves in 2 or 3 minutes every 5,000 years. They make a feature change and boom, they go on again. So they pretty much don't die. They're eternally all the time happening. Yet they are physical and they are multidimensional. They can fool around with stuff. They're not too concerned about it because they're not going anywhere. They deal with their dharma instantaneously because they don't have any. And they create other people's karma. And they can uncreate other people's karma. They're not gods. They have no more understanding of God probably than we do. They just have a greater acceptance of something beyond and a little bit more knowledge of the mechanics. But they don't know any more about infinity than we do. They just know it exists and it always has. Okay? It's real interesting when you get up the chain. So in 1991, in October, they came here and they showed me, some of you can, maybe at the house I'll show you what happened, but we're living in Laguna Beach. I'm writing another book called Birth and New Beginning. And Laguna Beach is an old volcano here. And we're going to be on it tonight. This volcano shaft goes down to the center of the earth, the core. Okay? It terminates in three mountain ranges. The first mountain range is called Top of the World. The second mountain range is where I live, which is called Arch Beach Heights. And the third one is just past Arch Beach Heights, which is partially known as South Laguna. If you go down into where we used to do our seminars, if you drive down to where it says Ben Brown's Restaurant, those of you that are out of town, and turn into Ben Brown's Restaurant and go up the Aliso Creek, you reach Ben Brown's, park your car at Ben Brown's Restaurant, it's also a golf course, walk down onto the golf green, and you'll see that you're inside of a volcano. You can see all the way around except the entryway of the sides, and you're in the actual place where the lava came out. Okay. Right above that is where all the Pleiadians, always came and hovered their ships over that volcano. They always picked that volcano for communications. And I always stood on the hill, volcanoes down here, I always stood on the hill that overlooks that, and made contact with Semyazi. Most of the contact were here in Laguna. Andromedans are focusing on a hill up on top where we live, because our house is physically located on top of a volcano, and this vortex is linked to all the vortexes in the world, the ones in Sedona, the ones in Greece, Russia, South America, Peru. They're all linked to the core of the earth. In our systems technology, we have at the bottom of the radiators pieces or samples of vortexes that have been brought and gathered from all over the world that we physically brought in. So as a result, when the Andromedans make a manipulation, some of the manipulations they make are through this vortex here. I'm sure there's other contactees. I know of one that's in the Whole Life Expo that's on the UFO panels that's also being worked with like I am. We're doing two different things, but when we connect, it's totally identical. I mean, we're both totally insane, and our insanity agrees. You know? So that's, and you'll feel the vortex tonight.
Insanity is insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
I know, I love it. So, they came, and what they did, first thing they did anyway, that I was aware of, was they changed the course of human events. They intervened in time. And what they did, they didn't say what they did, I just saw how they did it, and it scared the hell out of me. But I could only describe it at the house, where you could see where it happened. And they said that they took out a lot of historical things that we would think we know about, and they erased them completely, and they injected other events into our history that we don't even know about. And so probably, when they did this, if we were to go back into our history books, we would probably have a different understanding of our history books now than we did when we were kids reading them, because they don't even exist the same. There have been changes made. Okay, I know there was a lot of healing done in relationship to the Holocaust. I know that for a fact. Okay, but beyond that, they haven't said much, because they said it doesn't really make any difference right now anyway. But that's the first thing they did. So they zapped the whole Earth and the whole solar system at once. Okay. Second thing they did, this started in 1993, I think it was. Yeah. Yeah, because this is 94, almost 95. Right, and this was in September. It was real interesting, because on January 18th of this year, exactly at 4:31, they came to me 2 hours before 4:31, about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I called a bunch of my friends up on January 18th, the night of January 18th, for the morning of it, told the Andromedans were going to do something major tonight. I didn't know quite what it was. And the next thing they had me doing is, in my house up there, they had me take a lot of artifacts, delicate things off of counters and stuff, and put them on the floor. And then they made me take a speaker system, which had some really delicate things, completely out of my living room and put it in the garage. And then they had me go in and wake her up and take one of those dorging things that we've got here and start working on her back. And then what time did I wake you up? About 20 after 4, right? Woke her up. 4:20 in the morning, I wake her up, jam this thing, tell her to lie flat on her face and start sticking this thing in her back, working on her, after I've taken all the stuff off the shelves in the house. And exactly at 4:31, what happened? The whole house was rocking and rolling, wasn't it? So I guess I was getting her ready for it, and nothing broke, because everything was on the floor. So, I mean, this is how tuned in we are sometimes. But anyhow, in 1993, Liara came and said, they're going to shift the Earth's etheric field 4 degrees. They're going to shift it a half a degree per year, so that by the time the year 2000 comes, it will have shifted exactly 4 degrees. Now, does anybody know what that means? How that relates to you? Here's how it relates to you. At night when you go to sleep, okay, you have a north pole and a south pole, right? So at night when you go to sleep, the Earth's field, the Earth's magnetic field, actually it should be thrown this way, it's like this. True north is 16 degrees off magnetic north in the northern hemisphere. Magnetic north is this way, okay? Now, what direction do you sleep in at night when you go to sleep? How are you told to go to sleep, go to bed? Which way?
East,
north, and south, right? Do you know why you're told to sleep north and south? Okay, the Tibetans call it the anima mundi. Okay, the anima mundi. Okay, that's a life force. Okay, comes from the earth. It comes, if this is a this is one magnetic field of energy right here, going to the north, right? Directly perpendicular to this is the anima mundi. Okay? So when you go to sleep at night, what happens is you're laying in bed, you're sleeping here. Your first thing is you overcome gravity. Gravity's not working on you anymore, right? When gravity doesn't work on you anymore, your spine decompresses. No more pressure on the spine, right? There's no more pressure on the spine, it relaxes the nerve bundles. When the nerve bundles relax, boom, the magnetic aura frequencies of the body extends out 2 inches. Okay? During this time, you use up 80% of your nutrition. Your brain is 90% more active at night when you're asleep than when during the day. You're using most of your brain. Daytime, you use 5 or 10%. Tourists use 1%. But they only have 5% capability next to a normal person anyway. Because the brain goes to sleep if you don't keep using it all the time. The tourists never use it, they just tour. So, what happens is, you got this field right here, and all this is going on. Then what happens is, the triple warmer meridian of your body goes to work, and the liver, the kidney, the organs, all of critical parts of your body start detoxing. Major detoxing goes on. You don't detox during the day. You tox during the day. You're breathing in carbon monoxide, tons of it, which is destroying vitamin E, coagulating your blood, giving you future heart problems, circulatory. All this shit's going on in the daytime. At night, you're cleaning up, right? But where does this energy come from? This 80% increase, the 90% increase in energy. Why? Where does it come from? Anybody know? Two places. One, first of all, it comes from the earth, from the anima mundi force of the earth. Because now you're holding still. You're not moving anymore. During the day, you're moving around and crisscrossing magnetic all day long. Body doesn't really see that force. At night, you're totally trying to tune into it. Okay? Secondly, with not having to overcome gravity anymore, the body's not producing lactic acid in the blood. The blood is much starts to clean itself out. So you become more receptive to it. Okay? First thing that starts to happen, boom, you get bombarded by radiation. Airplane landing with ILS, you know, altitude measuring, radiation from satellites, radiation from cars, radiation from radios, TV transmission. So the body goes into shock and it jumps. Remember that jumping sensation? Yeah, that's why we sleep in pyramids, because it eliminates that. These are the things that happen in the normal course of life. Okay? But now what would happen if we line ourselves up to the magnetic field of north at night, and somebody were to come along here and shift this Anima Mundi force slightly like that? Now what's going to happen? Anybody know?
Different experience?
Yeah, you have a different experience.
It's either going to be greater or less effective.
Right, exactly. It's going to have a lesser effect on it, and you're going to start to die in your own toxins, basically. Okay? And you got to understand the complete reproductive process when you alter it. You can't clean oil the wheels, you know, like you're supposed to. They get squeaky and rusty in the whole system. The cells fall apart, the body, the nerves, the blood, everything falls apart. Okay? And if you alter this 4 degrees and you don't acclimate to this alteration, you're going to die in 7 years. It's real simple. You're not going to be here anymore. Okay? Because your body, the Earth's magnetic field is the same. The compass still points in the same direction to longitude and latitude relationships. The etheric field is changing. Okay? Your body has a magnetic field. I don't care if you sleep east and west or southeast by northwest. The magnetic field of your body is automatically looking and swiveling around to the magnetic field of the Earth when you're not in motion anymore. But the thing that's not going to happen is, it used to, when it would line itself up, it would be ready for this perpendicular action of the Anima Mundi force, or the etheric force, or the etheric side, or the current side of the magnetism itself. Unless you learn how to track with this, you're going to die by the year 2000. Okay? That's what's going to happen. Now, how would you do this? This is what the Andromedans did. They came here, and they have, through these vortexes, through the intervention of time, set in motion a 4-degree shift. We're 1 degree off now. By the year 97, we'll be almost 2.5 degrees, 3 degrees off. By the year 2000, 4 degrees. Watch what happens on this planet, okay? Now, what are some of the correlating things? How does society react to that? Well, society has their way of reacting to it.
Is the best sleep?
Is my magazine not in here?
Which way should your head face when you're north-south?
North. This is what society says. Revenge of the killer microbes. Okay? Front of Time magazine. Okay? Revenge of the killer microbes.
What issue is that? What year?
This is September of 94. Very recent. Yep. And what it does is it talks about the E. coli, and mainly the Ebola, E-B-O-L-I virus that's here. Does anybody know what that is? Huh?
That's the flesh eater, isn't it?
No, that's the flesh eater. It's an E. coli, or C. coli vibration, huh?
Well, you get nauseous rashes and you bleed
definitely
orifices.
Oh, really? It says, when bacteria begin to outwit antibiotics, doctors found themselves retreating in the battle against germs. Now, first of all, let's look at how this came to be. The Greys came here in the 40s, right? They began immediately to make a deal with our government, which they made in 1954 at Muroc Field, right? Which is just north of Los Angeles, called Edwards Air Force Base now. The deal was they would abduct human beings, only a few hundred a month was the deal, and they would get sanctuary, so they were allowed to stay here. They would give us the knowledge of weaponry and the knowledge propulsion system in exchange for sanctuary and abduction privileges on humans. And they would provide lists to the Central Intelligence Agency at Langley on the individuals that were going to be abducted. As the relationship between the aliens and the government grew, the aliens began to tell the government that they created Jesus Christ through genetics and proceeded to do a holographic demonstration, which all extraterrestrials can do, on one of their ship receivers, which is like a TV set with four dimensions. And they said that, you know, the Earth has to be depopulated. There's too many people here. They brought up the amount of souls, and they went through the whole limbo thing like I did with the government. And they said, we got to eliminate the people here. And so the government decided to, through the knowledge of the environment, orchestrate this giant program, which became known, officially printed in the Executive Intelligence Review magazine in 1981, available out of Washington, D.C., funded by the LaRoche Foundation. They admitted in the March of 81 issue that there was such a thing in place, in operation, called the Haig-Kissinger Depopulation Policy. Okay? And they described Vietnam, Malathion, from Japanese studies in the 50s, being a Malathion exposure would cause sterility in males, stop population. So they mixed it with Agent Orange and they spread it all over everybody. Good guys, and then the Vietnamese, you know. Ho Chi Minh was, if I had a choice, I would have taken Jane Fonda's sign, because she was right. Ho Chi Minh was right, and the French were wrong, and that's what it was, a war. It was an old feud between the French and the North Koreans, which we had no business getting involved in. They sprayed napalm, psychological warfare, all over the Vietnamese children and women, and still the population grew. Then they went into their drug operations with the Contras in Oliver North, and they went into Nicaragua and started causing unrest down there. At the same time, they brought up huge amounts of cocaine, which then funded Area 51 and all these different projects, these black box projects. In the process of doing that, back in 1960, they began to do huge genocide. They had a lot of people from the Third Reich that are still employed in the Pentagon today conduct huge genocide experiments on society. And in 1960, in Mobile, Alabama, they injected 1 million people with cancer.
With what?
Cancer. It's been in the newspapers. At the same time, they came in with alternatives 1, 2, and 3, and they built huge underground bunkers under major hotels like the Marriott in Washington and different places around the country and around the world in case of any kind of a war or confrontation with Russia, which was also doing the same thing. Further on, in 1978, they began to start the word at the ozone layer was coming down with a sickness caused by aerosol cans, which was total bullshit. The ozone layer is being affected by the effects of high tailpipe temperatures from jets flying over in the atmosphere. There's 2,000 to 3,000 jet passenger transport planes flying in around the Earth at any given point in time, day or night, dropping billions of gallons of fuel in the atmosphere, and that's the ozone layer. So they said, in the ozone layer, they also knew would affect the immune system. They made no effort to correct the problem with jet aircraft with higher propulsion systems. Matter of fact, they started hiding all these things and making cars less efficient. And so as a result of that, they began to play around with the human DNA through the input that was being provided from the Greys at a couple of bases. One at this time was at Dulce, New Mexico, and in the Los Alamos labs. And they began to introduce herpes 1, 2, and 3 into our society. And then they began to introduce the AIDS vibration in. That was a mixture that was created at Langley. I've seen the presidential meeting logs that were conducted back in the early 70s, late 60s on that, describing a virus that would come from a bovine cattle virus, which had a tendency to cause pneumonia in cows, and a Vishnu virus, which came from sheep, which was very easy to make this cattle, when they combine it, contagious, as AIDS is, through saliva and mucus. And they created that, and they injected it into 2,000 people in 1978 in San Francisco. And that was the beginning. That was the beginning of the AIDS virus. then all 2,000 of those people died. The reason they chose homosexuality. Absolutely splendid place to do it. And I don't know if they had anything against homosexuality. They just found an area where they could introduce it. Consequently, no monkey or gorilla has ever come down with AIDS, in case you want to know that. And so that spread all over the world. I think, 10% of the planet is now somehow or other, one way or another, infected with it. You know, it's pretty high. And so now they've gone a step further, and they're calling the Ebola. Let's see here, it says, the U.S. Army lab in Frederick, Maryland faced a terrifying situation in 1989 when imported monkeys started dying from strains of Ebola virus. After destroying 500 monkeys and quarantining the lab and everybody in it, officials found this particular strain was harmless to humans. Isn't that interesting? That was the Ebola, you see. But the episode was dramatic enough to inspire an article in the New York Magazine, and goes into that. The Ebola affair and the emergence of AIDS illustrate how modern travel and global commerce can quickly spread disease. And so it goes on here. Then it gets a little bit heavier. It gets up in here. Let's see what I'm leading up to now. Some microbes can reproduce in just 20 minutes. The price of doing nothing will be millions of lives. and then they start talking about the killer flus. And then it starts talking about the, somewhere in here, the Ebola, which is a different one, virus, and how it's coming up from Peru. And it also talks about, not the Ebola, that was the one that they used on the monkeys, didn't hit the humans. It's real interesting, but they developed a one for humans, which is in here. And, Lister, you should give up at the break time. Basically, it says with this new one that's out now, you don't have to worry about it. It's not going to spread in our society because nobody survives it. So how can it spread, right? It hits in about, it's already the size, strain of it hit a ship here recently and got 400 people sick in a matter of hours when they evacuated the ship. That was a few months ago down here in the Los Angeles Harbor, one of the cruise ships. But the bottom line is, this one hits you, and the first thing it does, if you survive it after a couple of days, you get a stroke, okay, blood clots. And then, if you survive the stroke somehow, 2 days later, your blood turns to water, and you bleed out of everything. Your blood just flows out of your body, and you're gone. And it's 100% effective on everything it hits. So yeah, well, they can wipe the planet out with that. It's coming this way. It's coming up from Peru, supposedly. They claim that because of the cleaning of the rainforests, that this is where it's coming from. So you begin to realize now it's important to tune in to these changes that are going on. It's very, very important, okay? So that's kind of like the... What time is it now? Okay, we'll go a little further. That's the opening intro to why we need to learn about extraterrestrial science.
And you said that the Greys basically wanted to know about our DNA. The Greys basically wanted to know about our DNA. That's their purpose in doing the experiments that they're doing.
No, the Greys want to hybridize themselves with humans.
They want to interbreed with humans.
So that they can have individual souls rather than a group over soul.
That's what they have, is a group oversoul.
Yeah, yeah. Like the Borg.
And the Andromedians are doing this because shifting at 4 degrees because they were...
They're going to get rid of these humans. They're going to push the humans back up on the astral plane until another time comes, and they're going to clean up the surface of the Earth because that's going to then stabilize the whole solar system, which is going to then stabilize the whole change into the new age, which then the people that are here on this planet incarnating will appreciate. There will be ones that appreciate it because of their time is here now. There has to be a balance to all this killing. So this is a healing balance. So for the next 1,000 years, which Hitler called 1,000 years of Reich, because he saw it too, he actually had an ET contact, physical. And so
as this change goes on, they're going to condition people. There's not going to be any earth changes. There's not going to, California's not sliding into the sea. These are all escape mechanisms for people that don't really want to get down to the core of what's really going on. So most of the New Age stuff is total bullshit, about 98% of it to be exact. And half the stuff that's even on the marketplace is junk that's out there, you know. So you'll see this, but this shift is going on now. And it's gradual. And you're going to see more and more, as Einstein said, the only way to get rid of the growth-resistant generation is let them die away. And that's exactly what they're doing, but they're accelerating the process. Because the bottom line is...
Finish that next week. So anyhow, we'll talk to you then. See you on the live show on Thursday.